My three sessions will build on each other also, so I hope you come back tomorrow. Tonight we're going to give the world view of Mormonism. In the 70s, Alice and I were asked to go to Edmonton to help North American Indians start a church in Edmonton. We realized we were going to have to learn the Cree language the best we could. We also realized that their culture was very different, and that we'd have to think about that. In the 80s, immigrants from Pakistan and from Punjabi asked us to start a church in Edmonton for them. Again, we tried to learn Urdu and Punjabi the best we could, and we knew that we have to learn something about their culture and that their worldview is going to be different than ours. In the late 80s and in the 90s, we went to, I better not name the country, we went to a Middle East country, and we helped start two churches in that country. Again, we had to learn a language. Again, they were a different people, different culture, different worldview. My wife had a serious, was going to have a serious operation, and so we went to, had to come home from the Middle East, went to Edmonton. She had an operation on Friday. I was asked to speak at a men's breakfast on Saturday, and after I spoke, a man came up to me and said, you know, we want somebody to start churches for us in southern Alberta, Karts and Raymond McGrath, and would you consider doing that? And at that time, we didn't know if my wife was going to have radiation or chemotherapy or what. We didn't know how extensive this was all going to be. And so I went up to the hospital after I got done speaking. I said to my wife, you know what? We have an opportunity to go to southern Alberta and minister to the LDS. And we both have relatives on both sides of our family are LDS. And my wife said, well, I don't know about that. But anyway, it ended up that I had 1 year left on my contract overseas. And we came back and we started the church in Raymond. And we started now one in Cardston, Alberta. Now, when we came back, and these are white people. LDS, by and large, are white people. Speak English? You would think that they would have the same worldview as us. And that's where the deception comes in. Their worldview is very, very different than those of us in this room. And their terminology, they use the same terms that we do, but the meanings are very, very different. Very different. And so it's deceptive. Actually, we're finding it as difficult to work in southern Alberta as we did with Muslims in the Middle East. As difficult. So what I talk about tonight is worldview. And I'm only going to take three aspects of the LDS worldview. Only three aspects tonight so we can cover it. And so I'm going to put on the first slide. I'll read it also because it might not show up well enough there. We're going to talk about creation. Now, if you ask the average LDS, do you believe God created the world? They would all say, yes, God created the world. But their idea of creation is vastly, vastly different than your idea of creation is as a believer in the Bible. Here are some things they believe. They believe in materialism, that matter has always existed. Matter existed before God existed. So I'm going to read you some quotes. The LDS worldview is also up on the slide there. The LDS worldview affirms the independence and the self-subsistence of material element, that is mass. The Mormon God organized this world out of pre-existent matter. That is, matter has always existed according to Mormonism. God, according to the Mormonism, was a craftsman, not a creator. The Bible says God spoke, and it was. God spoke, and it was. God spoke, and it was. We call it the doctrine of creation ex nihilo, out of nothing. But Mormons will say, yes, God created this world, but according to Mormonism, actually all he did was craft it. The only thing that was eternal was matter. Here's a quote from a top LDS theologian. The second quote up there, the Mormon God did not bring into being the ultimate constituents of the cosmos. neither is fundamental matter nor the space-time matrix which defines it, did not bring it into being. Here is the number one theologian of LDS denomination, the last quote. Not even God may place himself beyond the boundary of space, nor on the outside of duration. Nor is it conceivable to human thought he can create space or annihilate matter. Well, the Bible says someday God's going to go, this world's going to disappear, right? Not according to LDS theology. God is not capable of that. Matter is eternal. These are things that limit even God's own omnipotence. So their term, their concept of omnipotence, they say, you talk to an LDS, is God omnipotent? Oh, yes, he's omnipotent. But the LDS God is under matter. He's not above matter. Can't extinguish it. Can't create it. So you see how their terminology is so different? Nor is it conceivable to human thought that he can create space or annihilate matter. These are things that limit even God's omnipotence. He may not act out of harmony with the other eternal existences which condition or limit him. The Mormon God is limited, conditioned. It's a worldview. So you talk to them and it sounds all good. They use the word creator. They use the word omnipotent. Eternal of God, but eternal is not eternal according to what Bible eternality is, or even Webster. Okay? We'll go to the next slide, please. Here are a couple more quotes about their thoughts about materialism. In the Mormon worldview, God is not responsible for creating or sustaining matter, energy, natural laws, personhood, moral principles, or even the process of exaltation. Instead of the universe being subject to him, the Mormon God is subject to the universe. Subject to the universe. Subject to matter. Not above it. Didn't create it, just crafted it. Book of Abraham, one of the books, key books of LDS theology is the Book of Abraham. And here are some thoughts from the Book of Abraham. In LDS theology, God, like each human being, is a finite person within the universe. A finite person. When God attained godhood, he then created this present world by organizing both eternally pre-existing inorganic matter and the pre-existent primal intelligences from which human spirits are made. Two things eternally existing out there. Matter and pre-existent primal intelligences from which human spirits are made. Now, one of you talked to me about that already early on here. Where did those come from? Never explained. Never explained. So their concept of creation is very different than our concept of creation from the Bible. Very different, even though they use the same words. There's also another topic we want to talk about, and that's progressionism. It's on the next slide here. Every Mormon is motivated, driven by the fact that I've got to keep on progressing until I become God. Driven by it. I mean, they will work their fingers to the bone with good works, with genealogy, with all kinds of things to the bone in order to progress. 18, go on a mission trip. 20, come home, get married by the time I'm 21. I must have a child by the time I'm 22. And just keep on going. One time we had a young couple to our house, two kids, and they noticed, they were neighbors, they noticed two men coming to their house, and they said, oh no, the bishop and counselor is coming to our house. I said, what's the problem? He said, because we've stopped having children. Can't stop having children if you're going to progress. So this doctrine of progression is a big thing in Mormon theology. Now, what is it? Well, let's put on some quotes here, or some statements. According to LDS theology, God the Father is a resurrected, exalted man named Elohim. At one time, this is right straight out of the Doctrine and Covenants, at one time Elohim was a mortal man on another planet who, through obedience to the precepts of his God, eventually attained exaltation or godhood through eternal progression. Located in time and space, he has a body of flesh and bone. One time the God of this earth was on another planet, and he just became progressed and progressed. He was such a good guy. He just progressed and progressed and progressed until finally he became a god, and then he was sent to organize this world. Progress, progress, progress. Joseph Smith asserted himself, God himself was once as we are now. He is an exalted man. We have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. He was once a man like us, dwelt here on earth, the same as Jesus Christ himself did. Here then is eternal life, to know the only wise and true God, and you have got to learn how to be God yourself, the same as all gods have done before you, namely, by going from one small degree to another small degree, and from one small capacity to a greater capacity, and you just keep on progressing, 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 progressing. Now, most people, when they intermarry, don't understand that when you marry an LDS person, you are stuck to this progressing, 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 progressing. And if you don't progress with that person, they can't progress. Which means that if you don't eventually get married in the temple, you can get married in a Mormon church, but to progress, you must be married in a Mormon temple. And if you don't agree to get married in a Mormon temple, your wife or your husband cannot continue to progress. Therefore, get divorced. Because you can't progress. Right? And grandparents can't progress if their children are not progressing. And so the pressure comes from the grandparents. Hey, granddaughter, I heard that you did this last week. You know, I'm about ready to die. I'm pretty old. I'm in the 90s. I want to become a god. Granddaughter, you have to quit that because you're going to stop my progression. So this doctrine of eternal progression is one of the foremost doctrines in LDS theology. Next slide, please. The late LDS president, Lorenzo Snow, explains, as man now is, God once was. As God now is, man may become. If you were LDS, I would say to every one of you, you know, people, let's do good. And we're all on different stages, but let's all progress and let's work toward exaltation. God did it. We can become it little by little. A member of the LDS First Council of the 70, Milton R. Hunter, writes, Mormon prophets have continuously taught the sublime truth that God the Eternal Father was once a mortal man. Well, how can he be Eternal Father? But you see, their terminology is different. Mormon prophets have continuously taught the sublime truth that God the Eternal Father was once a mortal man who passed through a school of earth life similar to that through which we are now passing. He became God, an exalted being, through obedience to the same eternal gospel principles that we are given opportunity to obey today. So we have this whole list of things to obey and this whole list of things not to do, and that constitutes spirituality, and that constitutes progression, 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 progression. Here's another thing about Mormon worldview. We're going to talk about deity. And I'll spend a little more time on each of these things, but we're going to still get done in time. Deity. First of all, according to LDS theology, the gods, there are many gods. Many gods. Every one of you according to LDS theology, has the potential to become a god if he would just work at progressing. So there are many gods, millions of gods. Secondly, the gods are humans who earn salvation, exaltation, godhood. By the way, in Mormon theology, the term salvation, exaltation, godhood, and even resurrection are synonyms. Synonyms! So you have to be really careful when you're listening to them. Well, they use the term resurrection. Well, I believe in that term too. They use the term salvation. Well, do you believe in becoming God? It's a synonym to becoming God. Or exaltation. The gods are humans. The gods are male and female. Male and female. The gods are evolving, changeable, mutable. Mutable means changing. We believe that God's immutable. According to the Bible, he's immutable. Now, I'm going to show you lots of verses. The last session I have tomorrow, we're going to go through a process of how to witness to LDS people. Amen. And I'll leave that till next, till the last session to do that. But the gods are evolving, changeable, mutable. That's LDS theology. According to LDS theology, gods are material. Are material. They're material. In other words, they have bodies. Literal bodies. Have physical bodies of flesh and bones. They are physically localized. You ever heard the big term omnipresent? The Bible teaches that God, you know, has the capabilities of being everywhere at all times, all places. Not in LDS theology. LDS theology, all gods are localized. Why? Because they have physical bodies. They're localized. Constantly changing. The gods are mortal. They're finite. The gods are imperfect, morally questionable, sinful. In Mormon theology, there's no problem with God lying. There's no problem with God being deceiving, with him deceiving. We wouldn't even think of such a thing. God in the Bible is holy. Totally holy. Always is. That's God. That's God. Now in Mormon theology, gods are imperfect, morally questionable, sinful. The gods are polygamous. Incestuous, taking wives and husbands, continually doing so. I'll give you some illustrations of this here pretty soon. According to LDS theology, the gods are sexual, physically procreating spirit children. Even now, on planet out there, gods are busy having sex and are busy having spirit children, physically procreating spirit children. Now those spirit children don't have bodies yet. This is why LDS people have to have children down here, because when the LDS people have children down here, they give those spirit children bodies. In other words, according to LDS theology, God the Father on planet Kolob gave Jesus a spirit body. But then God the Father, the same God the Father, came down here and had sex with Mary, who was one of his own daughters, and gave Jesus a physical body. I'll talk about that a little bit more. But gods are very sexual. LDS theology is very sexual. The gods are sexual, physically procreating spirit children. Next slide, please. This is the last slide, so I can elaborate on some of these things here. We're doing great. The gods of the earth are three. It's tritheism, not Trinity. If you talk to an LDS, say, do you believe in Trinity? They would unanimously say, yes, I believe in the Trinity. Well, who are they? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They'll just rattle off just like that. They use the term Trinity all the time. But the Bible teaches that there are three. But there's one God, one God, one God, one God. It's all the way through the Bible. There's one God. All the way through the Bible, one God. Eternally existing in three persons. That's Trinity. So LDS use the term Trinity, but they don't use the biblical definition of Trinity or even Webster's definition of Trinity. Actually, it's tritheism. The gods of the earth are three, tritheism. Father, Elohim, they sometimes call him Elohim, Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God of the earth. You see, this earth has three gods responsible for it, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They actually came from another planet, but they were given the responsibility of organizing this earth and the responsibility of getting spirit children from that planet to have bodies on this earth. So we're going to talk a lot tomorrow about verses in the Bible which say that God was creator of not only this earth, and not just the architect or craftsman of this earth, but the creator of this earth, plus the heavens, plus the stars, and plus the planets. And of course, that's very contradictory to LDS theology. One god of the earth, Elohim, had physical intercourse with Mary, one of his physically procreated spirit daughters. You see, Elohim, on that planet, had a whole pile of spirit daughters and spirit sons, including Mary and including Jesus and so forth. And then he comes down here and has sex with one of his own daughters to give Jesus a body. Now, we think that is strange, but this is standard LDS theology. Even children will talk about this. We have Awana. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Awana. It's a youth group for kids. We've ran Awana now in Carson for probably 12 years. And we have lots of LDS kids who come to Awana. Because if parents are doing something that is not good, they are taken off of football teams and out of music choirs and out of the band and out to discipline the parents. And I even had an occasion when an LDS parent talked to me and said, look, I'm being disciplined right now, and my kids have been pulled off of these activities at school to get me to shape up, and I am so sick and tired of the LDS church. I went out as a missionary, my kid went out as a missionary, and you know, this is the way they treat me. Can I send my kids to your youth group? Yeah. And so we have quite a few LDS kids in our youth groups. And usually, not always, but usually it's because the parents are not progressing. And to get them to shape up to progress, they discipline the kids. I don't know if I finished that middle one or not. One god of the earth, Elohim, had physical intercourse with Mary, one of his physically procreated spirit daughters on another planet. And then he physically procreated Jesus' body on this earth. Jesus was the first of his physically procreated spirit sons up on that other planet. Elohim had a bunch of spirit children up there. His first one was Jesus. His second son was Satan, Lucifer. Then he had third, fourth, fifth, and so forth. Another god of the earth, Jesus, who is the elder spirit brother of Lucifer, had at least three wives on earth. All three of them were his spirit sisters. This is why we say it is incestuous. Because physically they procreated spirit children over there, and now physically they're procreating spirit children here with their own daughters and with their own sisters. Now this is going to continue on. As God now is, you may become. So therefore, you will be given a planet to organize. You will be given a planet to populate. You will, you know, be involved in multiple marriages, incestuous relationships, in order to get this done. So the worldview is very different. I talked real fast here because I didn't want you guys to fall asleep on me. And I got done way ahead of time. But that's all right. We have lots to talk about tomorrow.